Sure, that's a great question. There are certainly some, I guess, on the medical side, for example. University of Minnesota Duluth Med School was designed specifically for that purpose. And you find that across Western states as well, where you'll have that emphasis. The behavioral health side, there are some examples. University of North Dakota, for example, where that emphasis has been made. Even on my own campus at Minnesota State, we talk about it, and we do it to a certain degree. You know, some will suggest that maybe we could be doing more and better things. So again, you can find that across the country. You find it at University of Texas and K-State. I mean, I'm having all kinds of, you know, notice mostly land-grant schools, to be honest. But I, at some level, I'd like to reframe the question in that it's a great question, but I think that we're not far enough upstream on this yet. And what I mean by that is that we're trying to cast a net and capture people. The one thing about, of course, behavioral health as medicine is that you're automatically on the hook for somebody to essentially have at the most minimum bachelor's degree and typically graduate degree and perhaps a doctorate. So you're talking about an awful lot of time, commitment, economic resource, yada, yada, to get that person there. As a result, I don't know that we're doing a good enough job yet to encourage and really push this as a viable idea in the middle schools, the high schools, having that conversation. How does one go about doing that? Well, that's a big question in and of itself. But I think that it trying to do this catch point or this capture at the higher education level, starting, say, with freshman year of undergraduate education, is too far downstream, and that's why we're still really missing out on the opportunities that we have to essentially grow our own. Because the research is clear. I wrote a paper years ago where I think I found rural practitioners, just under 10% of those who are practicing grew up in urban, but over 50% have grown up in rural. Well, that 40-point spread is huge, statistically speaking. I mean, that's pretty significant. But until we get this kind of plugged back into, I keep saying, for years I said high school, I think that may be even too late, even middle school, that those career fairs, this could be pushed out.
Just give you a quick comment about my background so you know where I'm coming from. I grew up in on a family farm that went through all of the changes we talked about. Worked at the University of Minnesota Waseca during the 80s, the farm crisis. I retired from CHS a couple of years ago. I was head of our foundation. We did major funding on ag health and safety, teach ag campaign. I now serve on the Farm Foundation Board, the Ashka Foundation, and 2 weeks ago, we were in Quad Cities for a roundtable on infrastructure. Yesterday, I attended a listening session put on by CoBank and Rural Utilities and Farm Foundation on broadband. And a couple of observations. One, I think on the hopeful side, I heard broadband and rural connectivity mentioned a few times. It's not going to solve everything, but I think it only came, the closest anything came up yesterday to the discussion here was the role of rural connectivity in telemedicine. So, but there were a lot of hopeful signs. Things are going to get better. So I think for those that see some options there, I think that's a positive thing. But we're also talking about the way things were and the way they are now. And we need to do that. But I think we're also going to need to be looking out ahead. And I have a degree in studies of the future, and the future used to be 10 or 15 years. Now it's like a month or two, the way things are going. But, you know, we touched on immigration issues today, the economics of agriculture. The internet's a buzz today in the farm community on the farm bill. Legislation maybe being up for vote today, the immigration bill. None of us really wants to talk about politics. I think about the rural elderly. One of the programs we funded It never got very far, unfortunately, but the Rural Elderly and Meals on Wheels, and it's, it was absolutely astounding to find out the number of underfed seniors in rural communities. And when gas prices had gone up, volunteers were in short supply, there's a shortage of volunteers. What was really startling, though, was who are these rural elderly that we're trying to keep in their homes? They're all farmers. And again, it never really came up today, but I think I was encouraged by Paul's comments earlier when he talked about the Farm Bill and some new possibilities in there, and then also growing our own. And I think it's great to see a lot of young people here and preparing the next generation of leaders, whether it's healthcare professionals, doctors, veterinarians, ag teachers, you name it. But I think we're going to have to try to anticipate where things are going to be, not in 2020 or even in the end of 2018, but we're in for a lot more change, and got to keep our eye on the future, I think. Thank you.
Thank you. Anything else want to comment about?
I appreciate your comments. I ask that same question. What do we want our rural communities to be? I don't know how we have that dialogue in a reasonable, non-emotional sense, because everybody's pulling to their side. But I think it's a great question to ask. Yeah, there's a lot going on out there.
And certainly, there's a lot of good potential for the future, but there's also some not so good potential for the future too. So got to be aware of that sort of thing as well.
And I concur. I certainly like the comments. But you know, there's things that are kind of in the very near term that we need to take care of, and I think that some people are not moving fast enough to take care of some of those issues, and we're going to have some bad things coming down the pike here. They're already happening, and certainly we need to kind of look at that whole horizon, that whole chain. That is important. But there's some things that we need to do in the here and now, and even the Farm Bill in and of itself isn't going to solve those things. And in, you know, if you think that, you know, adding funding for health, you know, the grants that they're talking about in the farm stress portion of it, you know, by the time that gets rolled out and it gets funded and they put out RFPs and all of those things, I mean, you've worked in foundations, it'll take 2 or 3 years before some of this stuff rolls out. And so I think we need to talk today about immediate things that we can do in medium term and those, whatever those longer term things are as well.